blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This is our Legends Show. Today's special guest is Grammy and Dove award-winning songwriter and singer Babbi Mason. She is synonymous with creative excellence. The daughter of a Baptist pastor, Babbi learned to serve others early in life. She demonstrated exceptional musical skills at an early age and became the church's full-time pianist and choir director at the ripe old age of 9 years old. I met her many years ago as we were publishing her greeting cards for her and got to know her as a friend and just love Babbi Mason. She's performed in front of some great people like President Carter, Ford and Bush, former First Lady Barbara Bush, Lady Margaret Thatcher, NBA legend Michael Jordan, General Colin Powell, Steve Forbes, and even the crazy Jeff Foxworthy. It's great to have Babbi on today. Babbi, thank you for joining us on our Legends Show.
I'm fine, Rick Tokini. How are you?
Babbi, as a guest on our Legends Show, we're focused on mentoring young artists, songwriters, and creatives to become their best version. Let's start with a tribute to your own mom and dad and how they shaped you to become your best version.
Oh, wow. Well, that's easy to do because my mom and dad were the greatest impact and the greatest influence on my life. My dad was a pastor for 40 years in the same church, and through difficult times, through victories and challenges and setbacks, I watched my father stay the course. I watched my father set his face like flint, like an arrow aimed for the target. So my father taught me what it looks like to be persistent. And so I can credit my father. I've been in ministry now 36 years. And my daddy pastored for 40 years, and so I thank God that he set a wonderful example of what it looks like to remain, just to be consistent, not to give up and not to quit. And my mother served with my father for many years, or all the years of the life of the church. They were married for 45 years. My dad was pastor for 40 years, and my mom raised five children. We all love the Lord. We're all in our own individual right, gifted, talented, entrepreneurial. My oldest brother is a pastor. There are business people in our family. They're all college graduates. They all love the Lord. And that's a great credit to my parents. My mom, I'll share this one thing that I remember my mom saying. We were doing a radio interview one time, and at the close of the interviewer asked my mom if she could share some closing words. And my mom said, you know, I could tell you to hang in there, but I'm not going to tell you to hang in there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to instruct you to take that phrase completely out of your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. My mother said, when you're hanging in there, you're dangling by a thread. You're exposed. You're at risk when you're hanging. She said, so I'm going to challenge you not to hang in there, but to stand in there. That's what the Bible tells us to do, to stand in there. And then having done all, to continue to stand. So she challenged me by her wise words, and not just by her wise words, but her consistent actions to stand and not to give up, not to quit, but to do a job, do it well, to enjoy life, to love my family, to serve my church, and to love God and love people. And they were a great example to me.
Hey, I loved your mom. She was just a rock. I remember meeting her and hearing this quote about hanging in there. What great application that has to America today as we hit the restart button. It's time to stand up, America.
Yes, and it's about standing on what we know to be true and not being led by our feelings, because feelings can take us down a dark road. But when we stand on what we know to be true, truth never wavers. Truth never changes. And so if we can focus on what we know to be truth, even in the times when our world is changing by the moment, we can remain rock solid and stable.
Love that. And Babby, you know, on TV today, there's lots of shows about music and songwriting. What advice do you have for our young artists to hone their craft?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Rick, because as a mentor, as a college professor, I teach songwriting now at several universities. And I'll tell you what made a huge difference in my own life and career. And number one was studying your craft. A lot of my skill as a musician, and I think naturally for most musicians, a lot of what you have comes naturally. You just kind of get it in your genes. You get the love for music from your mom, or your love for words from your grandmother. But there is that inspirational part of songwriting, but then there's also the perspiration that comes with songwriting. Means you're just going to have to buckle down and invest time, money, discipline, and whatever it takes to invest in your craft. And I'll tell you, one of the things that literally changed my life was having a good mentor, someone who was over my shoulder. She was actually in the publishing department at a publishing house in the early days of my songwriting career, and she took me under her wing, and I would send my songs to her, and she was very honest. She was professionally critical. She didn't accept anything that was less than great, because she was looking for songwriters and she saw potential in me. And she would say, look, Babby, this is a great idea, but you need to go back in there and hone that lyric some more. You need to go back in there and rework that melody some more. And by the way, you need to write a bridge. And so she invested time and concern and excellence into me, and it made all the difference in my songwriting. And I began to study the art and the craft of songwriting. And so along with that inspiration, there's got to come some work ethic, some perspiration. And then another thing that really helped to fine-tune my songwriting, and this is something that I will recommend to up-and-coming songwriters, is to co-write with people who are better than you and allow them to bring you up and give you the kind of like the on-the-job training and invest time. If you can find somebody to co-write with you, I would really recommend that. And then to go to any conference or workshop or, some kind of events where you can meet other writers and publishers and A&R people from record companies, and you can see what other people are doing and how they're progressing, and it will motivate you. It will challenge you as a writer. So I would say sharpen your skill set, find a mentor, and work as hard as you can, and you'll begin to see the craft of songwriting improving.
That's Babby talking about practicing greatness on a daily basis. Babby, I have always wanted to know what songs you have written that have the fewest words but the greatest impact.
I would say a song that I've written, you know, songs to me are like my babies. They are conceived in love, and some of them are birthed without a lot of effort, and some are like trying to birth a baby with a big head, you know. You just have to push them out. But I would say that there is a song with all my heart that I wrote back in the early 90s, and it is one of my favorites. It is a simple two verses and two choruses, and the chorus, I would say, is really my life's prayer. And it says, with all my heart, I want to love you, Lord, and live my life each day to know you more. All that is in me is yours completely. I'll love you. I'll serve you only with all my heart. And the verses are, I would say every word is, this song was one of those songs that was inspired really by the Holy Spirit. I was just driving on a beautiful drive one day, along the highways here in Georgia in the spring. The dogwoods were in bloom. The azaleas were in bloom. And I was just totally inspired in the moment, and just seemingly like this song was served to me on a silver platter without a whole lot of effort. And I'm still singing that song today after many, many years. And then there is a song that my mother would sing. That my mother is my favorite voice. I love the music of Aretha because I grew up near Detroit. I love those women that play the piano and sing, like Carole King and Roberta Flack and Nina Simone. But my mom's voice is my all-time favorite. And my mother would oftentimes sing a beautiful hymn of "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." That's what the chorus is. "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." The beautiful hymn, "Blessed Assurance."
Yep, you're right. It has few words, but great impact.
Yes. Well, a song for me, this is what I teach my students, that a song is like a snapshot of life. Somebody emailed me, and they paid me the highest compliment. They said that my songs were like the fabric of their Christian experience. And I was so humbled when I read those words. But that's what songs are to all of us. They are like the glue to our life story. And if you think of important seasons or incidences in your life or important occasions, like when you fell in love or when you got married or when your loved one went home to be with the Lord, there's usually a song somewhere in the background. Or, you know, your first girlfriend or your first kiss, there's usually a love song that the two of you shared in common. And so, you know, I tell my students that a song is the result of an emotional experience. And that's what I try to teach them, is to go for the emotion, because that's why people come back to listen to a song over and over and over again, is because they want to experience that emotional response. They want that satisfaction, and they want to feel that feel-good feeling all over again. And that's what I try to do when I write songs, and that's what I try to teach when I'm teaching my students, to go for the emotion.
And I wish I were a student of Babby Mason, but maybe this podcast makes me a student. You remind me that my wife Carla and I have a favorite song. It's "Let's Take the Long Way Around the World." So what's the favorite song of you and your talented husband, Charles?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. Charles and I will be married 40 years this June.
Woo-hoo!
And yes, and we both love this song by the OJs called "Forever Mine." And one day, a great song. One day I was on my way to get my car repaired, and he was behind me because I was going to drop my car off, and then he was going to take me back home. And he was listening to one of his favorite radio stations, and that song by the OJs called "Forever Mine" came on his radio. And he called me on the phone, and he said, "Hey, babe, tune to whatever the station was," and I heard our song. And, you know, it's just something about that song that helps you to just keep the embers, you know, burning, and it rekindles that flame. That, and my husband, you got to love my husband. You know my husband. He is a great guy. He loves playing in the dirt. He is out there farming as we speak right now. He's out there planting seeds in the garden.
Of course.
And
he is
a wonderful, yes, he is. And he is a great cook and a good old country boy who can, listen, the other day, Rick, he brought in a rabbit that he had caught out there in the back pasture, and that rabbit is in my refrigerator marinating right now. Of course, I only eat stuff that comes out of the grocery store, but Charles loves rabbit and squirrel, and he's a good old country boy and loves to fish and farm, and so I did good, as they say down here in the South. I did good.
Baby, the other day I saw Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie, and I thought, hold it. Nobody makes sweet potato pie like Charles Mason.
Oh, my goodness. Melt in your mouth, sweet potato pie. And you have been at my table, and you have feasted on Charles's wonderful sweet potato pie. I keep telling the man, he needs to get them on the market. But right now, it's a the recipe is a family secret, and we get to you know, to be blessed every holiday when he comes out and bakes his sweet potato pie, and people stand in line to come over here to get them too.
Well, you could not keep up with that demand, that's for sure. I want to share a story with you, Babby, about Johnny Mercer, as told to me by his last remaining relative, Nancy Mercer. We met Nancy in Savannah, and she talked about the hundreds of collaborators of songs with Johnny, even Hoagy Carmichael. When Johnny was writing Moon River, as was usually the case, he laid down on his sofa, looked up for inspiration, and thought of picking huckleberries, a local favorite. But he looked up for inspiration, and that's what he did with most of his songs. From that story, Babby, why is it important for songwriters to have quiet time and go to a higher power for inspiration?
You know, Rick, a lot of times people are trying to escape their thoughts and their emotions. Well, the opposite is true for writers, particularly songwriters, because we have to say what we need to say and get to the point and say it in about 3.5 to 4 minutes. And while many people are trying to escape their thoughts, we want to engage our thoughts and get to the core of our emotions. Mm. And so it is, yeah, and I think for me, that has been very cathartic for me. I don't think I need a whole lot of therapy because writing songs is extremely therapeutic for me. And that's why I love to co-write, because really a songwriting session is really like a visit to the therapist. You can get your words out and your thoughts out and get your deepest feelings on the paper and think deeply and feel deeply and emote deeply. And that's why I love the process of songwriting and love the process of collaborating with the few writers that I love to collaborate with. And I'm glad you brought that up, because collaborating is kind of like dating, really. It's even more like a marriage relationship, at least for me. There are a couple people that I really love that I have a deep connection with, and we are very prolific, and we can almost read one another's thoughts and minds because we have spent so much time together writing. And so, yeah, you know, songwriting is extremely therapeutic for me, and I think that's been partly responsible for my my positive outlook on life and my clear-headed thinking. I credit a lot of that to songwriting. It helps me to flesh out what I'm going through and to keep my heart encouraged.
So while you become more clear in your own mind, it seems to me that you have become more complex, delivering even a bigger, more introspective, diverse message. Does that irony make sense?
Yes, it does. And let me tell you why that makes sense. I grew up in the city, not far from Detroit. Charles grew up in the country. We were married 40 years ago. We've got a beautiful family. And, you know, when I was newly married and moved to Atlanta, and Atlanta, you know, is this great metroplex of successful people and beautiful homes and gorgeous surroundings and landscape yards and pretty cars and all the stuff and things that, you know, young married people want to get and collect. And here I am now with an empty nest, and I still got a lot of living to do, but my kids are grown, and you know, Charles and I are enjoying one another's company after 40 years of marriage. And now I got a, you know, a collection of tchotchkes and, you know, a picture on every wall and lots of books on my shelf, and I've collected stuff and things. And you know, when my mother passed away, you mentioned my mom, and I'm glad that you and my mother were able to meet one another. She loved you. When my mother passed away and my brother had to move into the house where we grew up, we had to move 60 years of stuff out of the house so that my brother could move in with his stuff and things. And all the stuff that I would say the majority of the stuff that we moved out of the house after my mom passed away, most of it went to the trash heap. Unfortunately, you know, stuff gets old. You know, who needs a tape deck anymore? You know,
yeah.
And stuff and things that go out of style and they're no longer working. And so a lot of stuff just went to the trash. Very little of it was donated, and even a little of that was something that we kept as a memento. And so in my older years, I'm trying to live simply and living lightly and freely, and that gives me more space to think more pensively and more introspectively, because the older I get, the more that I want to say, the more experiences, you know, that I want to remember and I want to write down and pass on to my kids and my grandkids and my friends and my fans and followers. And there's just a lot that I want to say. And one of those things is you can't take stuff with you to heaven, but you can take trophies of grace with you to heaven, and those trophies of grace are people. I mean, when you get right down to it, the only two things in life that really matter are God and people. Everything
Amen.
Else is temporary.
That's right, Babby. You know that I love you, and you represent to me this absolute tour de force of faith and song, pure delight, and grace.
Well, thank you, my friend. It's always a joy to talk with you. And, hey, you know I got some wonderful memories of Rick Tocchini sitting at my dining room table eating pork chops and scalloped potatoes. We had the best time. I do want to invite people to visit my official website at babby.com and first name only, babby.com. Reach out and connect with me today. I'd love to hear from folks.
Thanks again, Babby. We really appreciate you being on this Legend show. Our best to you and your entire family.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you, and thanks for spending this time with me.
It was our honor. That was the one and only Babby Mason, great friend, and by the way, a Grammy and Dove Award winner. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate Babby being with us. And as we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.